Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 213 of the Milk Bar, Jason and Zoe. And as we said last week, I'm in Aberdeen and you are in...
still Wolverhampton, unfortunately.
And the Skype is just about working well enough to hear you. It's going to be one of those shows where there's some interesting dropouts and clicks and the phone calls won't quite be so clear. And yes, I have pressed the button on Skype that says I'm not happy with the quality of their service. But it's what we have and we have to make the most of it. But there you go. So, how have you? How's your week been?
All right so far. Not enjoying the weather. Very nice.
Yeah, I don't
like
that.
You're sitting in the back garden.
That's always good for you, isn't it?
Yes.
It's nice to enjoy the sunshine if you like that kind of thing. I don't actually.
I have got something interesting I did over the weekend.
What did you do the weekend, Zoe?
I went to the chili festival in Birmingham.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah. Lots of chilies from around the world. There was chili coke. There was. I had some lovely jerk chicken for my dinner.
I read about that on Facebook and
yes, the live band.
Yeah, were they dressed as chilies?
No,
it wasn't the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Dancers.
No.
No. There was the competition at the end was the funniest, to be fair. There was the 14 people, and each round they had like a hotter chili, and they had to keep going until they either wanted to drink water or they were sick. You've never seen so many people cheer over somebody being sick.
Okay, no, I don't think we want to go there. Should we get on with this week's show instead?
Yes.
What have we got coming up?
I'm going to be catching up, or we're all going to be catching up with Mark Minton, who's been on the show before. He seems to dip in and out of various different programmes, so we'll be seeing what he's been up to.
The weird world of celebrity he brushes with. Yeah. It's quite amazing. Hearing more from him a bit later. Also, we'll be talking cartoons with Clive Goddard joining us on the phone to let us know about his career and some of his commissions.
And then also catching up with Andy Reeves, who's doing a charity football match again this year. He did one last year and it was such a success. He's doing it all again.
We have live music in my hotel room. I'm currently awaiting the arrival of our guitarist. His name is Jake Taylor and he'll be playing live guitar in the studio as
very
it
rock
is.
And roll.
It is good, isn't it? But first of all, we find Louise Bent, education officer and glee choir coordinator from Wolverhampton Grand Theatre. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Just looking forward to our show on the 1st of August. Very busy time for us.
It's going to be really busy because this is the first time you've had both the youth and the adult choir singing at the same time, I think, isn't it?
Absolutely. It'll be their first performance together on the Grand Theatre stage. We've got 40 something in the youth choir and we have just done a count of the adults and we've got 40 as well. So around 80, 90 people performing on the Grand Theatre stage.
Gosh, it's going to be quite full then on those occasions when they're all on stage together.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They've got their individual performances, but then they'll come together in the final finale and sing a number together. But yeah, they've all been working really hard over the last few months to perfecting their glee-inspired routines.
And it must be great fun for them appearing on a stage as good as the Grand, because when they do stuff at school, it's nowhere near as big, not as impressive. And no, and yeah, there's no plaster work at all.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any comparison. We do have a beautiful stage and auditorium, and all the performers that play here, they always say what a lovely stage it is to play because you feel it feels very intimate. You're very close to what's to the audience. So it has a great atmosphere from the stage, certainly, and as an audience member as well. It's very, very cosy.
And this is a chance for them to get their family to come along and see them in a big theatre. And obviously they get involved in some of the other productions throughout the year, but this is their one chance to be the star of the show.
Yes, yes it is. A lot of them have already sold their tickets to the show. And they've got family members coming along to support them, friends and colleagues. So yeah, it's a great community event.
Mm. Is there any tickets left for people perhaps that don't...
There are indeed. We've sold over 500 tickets, but the theatre holds significantly more than that. So there are still tickets on sale. Adults priced at £10, children priced at £5, and you can get the tickets from box office, which is 01902 42921 2.
And it is the subtitled Born in the USA, because a load of the music is American inspired. And give us a few of your favourites, which you're actually going to be hearing on the night.
Well, we've got a great whole choir version of Gold Digger, which is really good fun.
Yeah.
Our adults are singing California Dreaming, which has got a real hippie festival vibe, where the costumes are fantastic. And then we've got lots of Vegas style acts. With real showgirls as well.
It's going to be a brilliant night, isn't it?
It will. It'll be absolutely brilliant. We're all very excited and looking forward to it.
So that is Thursday, the 1st of August. It starts at 7 p.m. on the night. £10 for adults, £5 for kids. It is a £3 transaction fee if you're doing anything other than buying them over the counter at the box office, but you can call the box office and purchase that way on 01902 429212, or, of course, just pop into the Grand Theatre, and you can get more details online at grandtheatre.info. Well, what else is going on then? Because obviously you occasionally recruit for the choir as well, so is that underway in the near future?
Absolutely. Our new term starts on Thursday the 5th of September, and we are looking for specifically for strong girl vocalists aged 14 to 17. A lot of our girls who usually do solos are now obviously growing on to university to do further performing arts can't and don't have as much time to commit to the choir if they're moving away. So we're looking for those strong soloists to replace them. And also more boys. We always want more boys for the choir. We've got a really good number of boys. We've got about 12 boys in the choir, but obviously the more the better. And it's a great way of making new friends and getting involved. It's like a big family.
And meeting lots of girls.
Absolutely. If you think about it, that's one boy for every four girls, pretty much. My maths isn't very good, but yes, about that.
So do you meet every week? So is it something they've got to commit to on a weekly basis?
Yeah, absolutely. It's every Thursday. The youth choir is from 5:15 to 6:45. Yes, and the adults is 7 o'clock till 8:30.
And if you do want more information, how do they get in touch?
If they want to, contact me, it's louise@grandtheatre.co.uk. And we will be holding auditions in September. But for the adults, they can just come along. We don't hold auditions for the adults. The more the merrier. It's more of a fun activity, mm-hmm. and enjoyment is key, really.
Yeah, for the kids, you're trying to develop a talent that's there already, and for the adults, they're just having a bit of fun.
Yeah, that's right. Because the young Glee choir is usually so oversubscribed, we have to be fairly sort of competitive with how we choose our new intake,
mm-hmm.
especially as there's so many girls that want to get involved in performing arts. It's quite competitive.
Well, keep up the good work, and we look forward to seeing
Thanks
that event.
Much.
So it's Thursday, the 1st of August. Get yourself down to the Grand, as we mentioned. Tickets 01902 429212. And Louise Bend, Education Officer and Glee Choir Coordinator, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Great to speak to you.
Cheers. Bye for now.
I believe you've got a musician in the studio with you, or the hotel room, should I say.
Jake? Yeah, here in my hotel room we have Jake Taylor, who has bought a guitar and everything. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Now, this is your first hotel room gig, as it were.
Definitely.
So, tell us a bit about your music then, because you're up here in Aberdeen, but this isn't your hometown.
No, I've been here for quite a long time, and the music is basically socially aware, a lot of socially aware songs, and... Mm-hmm. You know, meaningful songs and some love songs as well.
And you're expressing yourself through your music. You do a lot of originals, but you also have some covers as well.
I do a few covers. I do a song called Crossroads because I particularly like that tune. It's one of my favourites. But mostly I do my own songs.
Well, we'll hear that one a bit later on, if that's okay. But what have you got for us first?
I'll do a song called No Moon Over the River. It's about someone who loses their job and all the problems that ensue. No moon over the Clyde.
can you survive with no moon over the river? You know you're given a letter that tells you to quit, and there's nothing to say to the wife and the kids. So you wander home, so many things in your head, screaming, I wish, you know, wish I were dead. Oh, no moon over the river, no moon over the Clyde. They've taken your work and now you live in the dirt. How the hell can you survive? No moon over the river. You know you're given a letter that tells you to quit. There's nothing to say to the wife and kids. So you wander home, so many things your head, screaming, I wish, you know, wish I was dead. No moon over the river, there's no moon over the Clyde. They've taken your work and now you're left in the dirt. How the hell can you survive? No moon over the river. Sheffield, are you living in Hull? You might remember those days when your fellas are full. You living in Glasgow, Poland, might sit on the park bench for body of tree. You might recall and you might even miss when the boys are working on down at the ships. So bring back the union, come on, bring back the time when Lindisfarne sang for the boys on the Clyde. Oh, bring back the union, come on, bring back the time when Lindisfarne sang for the boys on the Clyde. No moon over the river, no moon over the Clyde. They've taken your work and now you're lurking in the dirt. How the hell can you survive? No moon over the river, no moon over.
Excellent, Jay. Fantastic. Thank really you. Enjoyed that. Playing live in my hotel room. This is a brilliant personal gig. So tell us a bit more about your music then, how you got started. Because did it begin when you moved north?
I started writing songs in the late 80s when I had an original band, Academy Street, and we raised a lot of money for the flood victims of Bangladesh.
So that was that back when you were in Liverpool? Or?
No, that was in Aberdeen.
Sorry, in Aberdeen.
Yeah. So we were quite happy to do that, mm-hmm. to help a good cause like that.
And enjoy you doing your music and sharing it with others and getting someone the benefit from the gigs as well.
Well, that's it. You know, that's what it's all about. Appreciation. People appreciate what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It does help a lot.
And when you've been pulling bands together in the past, how have you got guys involved? Because you must know a load of musicians then.
Yeah. Well, I've usually used people, you know, that I know. And sometimes I've taken in somebody that I don't know so well.
Yeah.
You know, I've needed an extra musician.
You might advertise online these days or through the music press online, in the past.
Yeah.
But it's
better if you know people, because then you know that you've got a connection with them.
Yeah.
You know, on a personal level as well.
And it helps with the music as well, doesn't it? It flows more easily.
Yeah, of course it does.
And do you enjoy doing jamming sessions as well as playing songs that you've written? Or is it mostly regimented stuff that you know you've worked on to get to perfection?
I've jammed with people before, but I generally start a song at one point and finish it at the other.
And do you work with people on the writing, though, or is it all coming from yourself?
I used to have a songwriting partner in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. We wrote songs together, but over the last 10 or 12 years, I've been writing myself. The songs that I've played today are songs that I've written.
Yeah, and then the rest of the guys come in. And they might add something to it, maybe a bit of orchestration somewhere along the line.
Yeah,
In the main part, it is your own. And do you write the percussion parts as well, or do you let your drummer get on with that?
I don't try to control musicians. Mm-hmm. I think a musician should be able to express themselves.
Yeah.
And if you're telling them what to do, they're not allowed to express themselves.
And Also, you're gigging at the moment. Have you got much that's going on in the near future, or you're waiting to see maybe do open mic nights, that sort of stuff?
I don't really do that. Now and again, you know, I've gone around and friends asked me to go down.
Maybe someone's starting up an open mic night, they say, yeah, we need someone who's a surety.
I do should do a few tunes, Jeff.
Yeah.
To help, you know.
Help you, mate, so you'll come along and play something for them.
That's it.
Okay, so we're going to hear more music from you. We've got two more songs you're going to do live for us and a studio track that we're going to take as well. So when you're recording, is it a different sound for you in the studio?
Well, it's always different. I know a lot of people like to play live in the studio because they're not used to multi-tracking,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they'd prefer to play live like they do in a gig, and then it sounds the same, it sounds similar to the gig,
mm-hmm.
you know. I've done both, I've done multi-tracking and I've played live in the studio.
Okay, so what have you got lined up for us? What is one of your studio tunes?
It's a song called Holding On, one I did with the Academy Street recently.
Tell us a bit of the story behind this song.
It's basically a love song, you know. It's basically a song about someone who's lost somebody who wants to get them back, you know, the same old story. as it is.
But just told from your perspective, which is
just someone wanting to hold on to somebody that, and they know that it's really lost, so, and but they're still trying to hold on to that thing.
Holding On.
Now, joining both Zoe and myself via the magic of Skype, we now find Clive Goddard on the line. Hello.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Oh, very well, thank you. Yes, yeah, a little bit hot and sweaty around the edges, but very well.
It is still quite warm. I can tell you it is a bit cooler up here in Aberdeen than it was when I left Wolverhampton, because obviously this is the big triangle now, with Zoe in Wolverhampton, you in Cowley near Oxford, and myself north of the border. And it's a nice way of us all coming together for a bit of a chat, I think.
Isn't it? It's almost like magic.
It is, as long as the internet connection holds out. So it's been about, 16 years you've been doing your magical world of cartooning?
I think it is, yes. Yeah, I haven't been keeping count, but that sounds about right.
And did you actually start out drawing things like properly on paper, but now have gone over to doing it all digitally to make life simpler?
I did, yes, yeah. Gone very digital these days. No paper at all. Draw directly onto a tablet and produce digital artwork.
And it makes it easy if you're sending it abroad, though, doesn't it? You can just attach it to an email and off it goes.
it's so much simpler. I can't believe all that you spent throwing away bits of paper. Because, of course, the joy of digital artwork is that if you make an error, you just press undo.
Mm-hmm. And redo it all over again the way you actually wanted it the first time.
Oh, yeah. Just one line is wrong, you can replace it.
And you're actually producing things for national magazines, like in the newspapers. So you've got The Sun on Sunday, where you have a regular cartoon feature.
I do a historical gag in The Sun on Sunday. I do a regular for the BBC, for Alex Lester. And bits and bobs for other magazines and businesses, yes.
And it must be quite good fun, though, doing that sort of stuff, particularly when it's you get to have like a joke in The Sun on Sunday each week. You know exactly what's coming along for yourself, and gauging people's reaction to it, because that's the magic of feedback on things like Twitter. Because I know when you're working with Alex, yes. you're getting massive amounts of feedback from his audience. So it must be really good fun it being part of people's lives rather than something that gets thrown away with the chip wrappings.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and it's only thanks to the social media business that I do get any feedback at all. Prior to this, I wouldn't have a clue. I would just stick something in a magazine and I wouldn't know if anyone had laughed at it at all. But now, yeah, I can see where something's been posted online and read all the comments underneath.
So how did you start out doing this then?
Oh, right. Many moons ago, I went to art college in my 30s. I went as a mature student. And that gave me plenty of time to draw and to send stuff off to magazines. And within a couple of weeks, I think, of attempting to sell things to magazines, I got one in Private Eye, which had always been my ambition as a young man, to get something in Private Eye. And I hadn't realised quite how simple it was. You just stuck things in an envelope and sent them off, and they said, "We'll have it."
I'm sure it wasn't that simple. I'm sure there had to be a bit of talent behind it as well.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of practice obviously involved to get to the stage where you're taken seriously. But I'd had years and years before that of just, you know, drawing and keeping, hiding my light under my own little bushel.
Well, you just found your Christmas cards for a while, and then you branched out into multinationals.
and one thing leads to another. Once you've got a little bit of exposure like that in a national magazine, you get taken serious by other magazines, and then people notice that, and you get commissions and so forth. Actually, this week I've just got my first commission through Alex Lester, through having something on his website, and because he's always mentioning me on his show at night, and I got somebody emailing me asking if I'd do them a private commission, having been listening to the Alex Lester show and thought, what can I get for my friend for his birthday? And they said, oh, let's get a cartoon.
Something special, something different, and all the so special and personal as well.
Yeah, that was really nice that you can get something like that through the wireless.
It's the magic of advertising on Radio 2, even though it's not technically allowed.
I know, but let's not tell anyone. We're going to get Alex.
It can be our secret. But it's not just personal commissions. You're doing things for big companies. And if whatever somebody wants something for, if they give you a few ideas, you will then turn that into a classic piece of artwork that's going to make their customers and them smile.
That's the theory. And it's bizarre that the kind of breadth and depth of clients I get. I've done transcendental meditation. This week I've just been working on something for Dignity in Dying, the people who campaign for a change in the law. Mm-hmm. So not everything is funny as such, but communicates whatever the message might be, and you know, visual messaging like a cartoon is like they say, a picture can says 1,000 words.
And I think we forget how important that is, and how many people are out there producing this sort of stuff, because whether it's The brochure that comes through your door advertising your local taxi firm or pizzas, all the way through virtually every publication, there's artwork of some kind, and so much of that is drawn, and so much of it's cartoon work, because it is a nice, friendly way of communicating something.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can stick a gag in there, even better. But,
I think that's the best of it, is that you've not only got to be good at art, but you've also got to be a bit of a comedian as well, and a bit insightful into certain situations.
Yes, yeah. I do have to do a little bit of research every now and then. More often than not, the client will furnish me with the bare minimum of what I need to know. But, you know, I'll get a commission to draw something for a company that recruits in audit. And I know not the first thing about audit or recruitment, so I've got to go and read a little bit and find out what their world's all about. And, yeah, then I can try and be funny with it. So it's a little bit like... trying to teach your grandmother to suck heads, really. That, you know, you're trying to make jokes about someone's profession that they know a lot more about than I do.
Yeah.
But a few clues along the way, and before you know it, they've got something that's going to impress.
That's very kind of you to say so.
Well, I've seen lots of work, mostly through Alex's site to start off with, but then I explored your website. So if people do want to find out more, where do they go to?
Oh, well, you go to goddardcartoons.co.uk.
And how does this work with other hobbies and interests as well? Is there anything else that you get up to that sort of feeds into this sort of stuff?
Well, the only other string to my bow at the moment is I've been writing books for kids. I've illustrated them for a long time. I did the horrible books for about 18 years or so. And then I decided I wanted to write a children's novel, which I did in 2011. I did one called Fintan Fedora, the World's Worst Explorer. Which is, it's a comedy adventure novel where he goes off to the rainforest and has lots of adventures and terrible accidents and so forth. And that is kind of a lot more interesting to me at the moment. You know, obviously, you know, when you've been doing the same thing for a few years and you find something a little bit different, it's kind of, you want to put your energies into it. So I'm kind of enjoying the writing at the moment. Just finished the sequel as well, where he goes to China and he has even more disasters.
And where can you get more on those then? Those books then? I take it they're available in Waterstones and all good booksellers, but online too?
Yeah, there he's online. I've got another site, goddardbooks.co.uk. Luckily, that wasn't taken. So, I've put all my illustrated and my children's novels up on there.
So I can see from your website as well, you also do cards. So if somebody wanted to have... a particular image or a particular cartoon on a card, would you do that specially? Or I can see there's ones that you can just order off your online site.
Yeah, I've got the ones that I do for the Paperlink Card Company. But so I do take commissions for specifics. I'm not exactly a caricaturist, where you draw someone's likeness exaggerated. But I have had a go at that. It's not my forte exactly. There are a lot of people far better at that than I am. But yeah, but I'm happy to take on all sorts of commissions like that.
Perhaps we could have one done for the podcast.
I'm not sure we can afford him, to be honest. But no, I'm sure that they're excellent value for money, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no. I price things accordingly. People, they cost far more.
If you're rich, then watch out. But you'll still appreciate it, and you'll know you're helping to continue the Goddard empire of drawing, writing, and feeding the family.
Yes, tomorrow the world.
Clive, brilliant talking to you. Thank you for joining us. And we'll look forward to seeing more of your artwork, whether it be via Alex Lester's show page on the Radio 2 website or The Sun on Sunday, and which I have to admit I've never, ever picked up a copy of. But might now, knowing your artwork's in it.
Yes, you can always just have a look in the paper shop.
That's probably the safest thing to do.
Yes.
Cheers for joining us, and we'll show look out for your artwork out there in the wild.
You're very kind. Thank you very much, folks.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Zoe, are you ready for some more live music?
I think we should have some, Jason, as soon as he's sat next to you in your hotel
room.
He's
sat opposite me here in the hotel room. Jake, you've still got your guitar with you. Yeah. We're taking another live one. This is another of your songs. What are you going to play for us now?
A song called Song for Joan. Struggle through the light and grey, the ups and downs of every day, and all the beauty in this town you painted it in blue and brown, the many colors that
that you'd see never set your spirit free. Joan, whatever stroke you paint, every hope and each mistake makes the artist cry. Oh, Joan, it's in the landscape of your mind. You know you might find love this time. You've waited far too long. Oh, you've waited far too long. Each picture holds its own reward. You've cherished both the rich and poor. You look so deep into their soul and captured the essence of young and old. Your brush would dance up on the screen like so many dreams that might have been. And Joan, oh, it's every stroke you paint, every hope and each mistake that makes the artist cry. Oh, Joan, it's in the landscape of your mind. You know you might find love this time. You've waited far too long. Oh, you've waited far too long. Children run along the path to remind you of some time way back, when the sun was bright and the wind was high and the birds of paradise held by. If you could ride up on her wings and feel the love real freedom brings. Well, Joan, oh, it's every stroke you paint, every hope and each mistake that makes the artist cry. Oh, Joan, it's in the landscape of your mind. You know you might find love this time. You've waited far too long. Oh, Joan, it's in the landscape of your mind. You know you might find love this time. You've waited far too long. We've all waited far too long.
Jake, excellent. Thank you for that. It was brilliant. Really enjoyed that. More to come. Nice.
So what was that song all about?
Song for Joan is about an artist who came up from England called Joan Eardsley.
Mm-hmm.
And she settled in Catalan. And she was a great artist as her life progressed. And had a lot of problems in her life, you know, with alcoholism and depression and things like that, a lot of social issues really, but still had great ability. And I was asked to write a song for her,
and
so I didn't know you know anything about her. So someone said, well, she had drink problems and she had depression, and she told me a few other things, and I said, well, that's enough.
Yeah, so, and there we go. And that was the song we just heard. Thank you again. Right, we'll be back to you for another song a little bit later on.
Now, we haven't spoken to him for quite a while. It is the great Mark Minton. He's going to be telling us about what he's been
doing. I'm impressed. I'm impressed already. The great Mark Minton.
What must we get from there? I'm not ready for a knighthood yet, though.
Well, you're working your way up the celebrity ladder at the minute, aren't you? You're going from programme to programme.
Well, I'm trying. I'll try anything. I mean, you know, reinvention. Like, my wife said it's either a midlife crisis or just a cry for help, really.
what can you tell us a bit about the programme you were most recently on, which I believe was Brendan's Magical Mystery Tour?
Yeah, it's Brendan Sheeran from the well-known Coach Trip. He's upgraded, as it were, and he's gone, like, worldwide. We've gone global. And what we did was we went to Cancun on a 5-day tour where we competed for, it was upgrades and downgrades of accommodation. But unfortunately, I spent more time in the downgrades rather than I did the upgrades. I never slept for a week.
I mean, it was
a great experience and whatever else. But yeah. Even like from the setting off, the taxi driver was about half hour late. And he never got out of second gear. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. But driving down the road, and I don't think he got out of second gear. And I kept saying, speed up, I'm going to be late, I've got to get a train. And he said, I've got 9 points. I thought, well, you know, you may have more points in the world, but I need to get somewhere. I mean, we got to the train station. The train was cancelled. I tried trying to phone somebody up at, like, stupid o'clock in the morning. It was unbelievable. I couldn't get through to explain what was going on. Managed to get another train out to Dover to somewhere else. Got to Manchester Airport. And the plane was delayed. I mean, even when we got there, we went from Manchester to New York, New York to Miami, Miami to Cancun. And what it was, we never got told where we were going until we got to the airport. So we were just told to just take luggage for a British summertime. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, it could be like a fur coat, or it could be like, you know, the old thing.
Yeah.
So we had to vary, and I had like jeans and... I even took, you know, one of them hats, like a woolly hat, and you pull the sides down. So we didn't know where we were going. We could have been going to, you know, Switzerland or wherever, you know. And when we got into Cancun Airport, there's like a traffic light system, you know, where like, so it's all varied. Red was stop, green was go. Everybody else in my party, they all went on green. And obviously they stopped me. They pulled me to one side, the security was all there. I opened my suitcase, and right on the top was this fairy hat. They thought I took through an animal or something. Oh, God, they had me up the wall and everything. I mean, the worst thing about it was, I've never packed nothing in my life, so I looked a right idiot, you know what I mean, trying to put it all back together, but it was a strange situation.
So, during this, it's all being filmed, every moment of this, I take it?
Yes, yeah, it was like 24-7, but obviously, because it's only an half-hour episode per day, they had to break it all down. So really, during the episodes, it never really showed you the full factor. I mean, I've been on the forums, and it says, well, some of these downgrades don't look too bad. I'll go camping every year, and I think they should upgrade as well, you know what I mean? But, I mean, like, I stayed in a hostel in smack bang in the middle of Mexico, and it was just like a free-for-all, people coming, passing through, you know, from all over the world. And from where we was, like, situated... it was like the Midnight Express. I don't know if you've ever seen the film. It was a nightmare there. I thought, well, this will have to do. But they put us on these two hammocks outside, and like for about 10 yards away, there's people drinking all night and loud music. And I mean, like, you know, it sounds daft. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the program, but Mel was actually fearing for her life because you couldn't really sleep because you didn't know who was around you or anything. You know, there was no house. I mean, I never washed for 2 days.
Was he the one you were partnered with, Mel, did you say? Was he
yeah,
the one?
That was Mel.
Did you know who he was before you went there, or were you just partnered?
No, you know the way I'm now.
Best of friends forever, I'm guessing, from that.
Well, I keep in touch with a lady named Liz, Liz Sanchez. I mean, you got it, because she was like, I'm name dropping now, but she was a record producer, but I never found his head. So later on, she's the relation of Paloma Faith, and she produces a record, so you know it's nice to stay with the stars. I mean, I was always told by Mick Jagger, never name drop, you know what I mean? I mean, Mel, her two brothers played pro football, and John was a soldier, 25 years serving soldier, which I needed him in the end, like for the cooking and for dressing me and everything. He had to look after me. And to be honest, when we came back from Cancun, we went to Chicago. And because it was such a quick turnaround, we were going to miss our flight, and John had took his backpack with him and all that. God knows how they'd seen him, because he was camouflaged, you know. But they did actually say passport control. They said, you're not going to make the flight. But the notes, he was a serving soldier. And they says, like, because you're like one of our comrades in arms, you know, whatever it is, brother in arms. He says, we'll let you go through. I can't go without Mark, because he's never been away on his own. So I actually went with him and just said, I spray defend. This is a time I was working for Land Rover, so I was classed as a military man as well, if you know what I mean. But the point is, business class on the way back, which is nice, you know.
Yeah. So it's quite an experience for you then. You actually got upgraded, at least if it was only on the way home.
I got one upgrade. I stayed in the Moon Plaza Hotel. I had my own jacuzzi and everything. Even like the mini bar, that was all mine. I don't know how mature it was. It all got emptied into my suitcase.
But,
I even had an airphone in the toilet. God knows what that was for. I've never had that before.
No,
yeah, I suppose if you get caught short, I think.
I get that a lot when I'm travelling around. Here in Aberdeen, I haven't, but it is fairly normal to have a phone right next to the toilet of the show, and you think, I don't really want a phone. Anyone from there?
You never know. You might get caught short. You know.
I feel bad enough text messaging from the toilet, but there we go. So what comes next then? Is there more in the pipeline of this sort of thing? Is there a second series that involves you?
I've had a couple of offers. I mean, prior to that, I'll try anything. As I said, maybe it's a midlife crisis or I don't know, but I sang the theme tune. I sound like Dennis Waterman now singing the theme tune, right? The theme tune, but I sang the theme tune for a Sky Living program called Sing Date. I did a video for, I think his name was Carl Desert. He was some Australian folk singer. I had to do the dancing for him in a women's costume. Well, Zoe knows I wear women's clothes because you've seen me at the
Breach
and Auditions. Remember that, Zoe?
I do, yes.
That
was
where we met. I did an audition for a couple of game shows, one that was Twisted. And I don't know what become of that, but what it was, we was there, and there was all questions and answers and whatever else. You either know the answers or you don't. And I was getting a bit frustrated. There's a guy there, he knew absolutely everything, and his claim to fame. He was an ex-boyfriend of Neil Young's wife. I thought he was a bigger catch, but obviously not. But I think the last question was, because I'm a massive Beatles fan, I've just had a big tattoo of John Lennon tattooed. I mean, my first one ever at the age of 41. I'll never do that again. But the last question was, who originally sang... wrote and sang Strawberry Fields Forever. Well, I was emphatic then. At the top, come off, swing it round me. I was going, him! I did an audition for a program called Heads or Tails, and that didn't go very well. The first thing you always ask me, I mean, you must excuse my, but they always ask me about this pain that's enlarging and enhancing tools from your skipping days. And, I'll die with that. I think, well, I won't because I got rid of it because my wife found it. But but this is like, what do you do with an audition? He was slightly, I don't know, a feminine guy, or, you know, whatever he was like. And they've gone, what do you show us what you did when you were doing the stripping? I says, yeah. I start stripping, pulling all the faces, as you do. And after about a couple of minutes, he turned around to me and he says, oh, that was an absolutely fantastic audition. He says, I really enjoyed that. He says, we'll be back in touch with you within a week or so. Well, it was only like a day, and I had this email saying, sorry, but we can't show that on TV or use anything like that because it's not suitable for family viewing at 5 o'clock. I thought it was fantastic. So that put me out of that.
So yeah, they ask you to do it, and then it's not quite what they were looking for.
I think it was for his own personal view. Nothing, but, I never got paid for that either.
Oh, I don't know. So do you blog all of this stuff as well as you're doing it so people can keep track of what you're doing online? Because or are you saving it up for the book you're going to write at some point?
Well, you never know. Well, I was going to write the book about my life, and I thought, no, it's too short. I thought, I'll drag it out a bit. I'll get to it eventually. I mean, I was supposed to audition for, I don't know if you've heard of the film, The White Collar Hooligan. They're making another one, and sent me the monologue and said, would I be interested? But, I was really happy about it, but at the moment, I've just started a new job. I know it sounds a bit sad, but I've got my dream job. I've been trying to get UTC down 4 days for the last 20 years, and my friend Dave Butler, he managed to get me in, so I've been trying to keep my head down and sort out my work. But I have got an audition coming up on the 1st just for some game show catchphrase. I'll try anything, you know what I mean?
You can
make some money on that as well.
So you've got to pay for the hobby somehow. I mean, it's great that you're getting up to. I'd love to hear the tales. We will get you back again soon. But have you got a website where people can track down what you're up to? Is it just a case of finding you on Facebook?
Well, you can get me on Facebook, but if you do want to add me, can you just put, via your radio station? Because I do get some weirdos. I mean, I've had strange videos sent me of men on toilets with gas masks on and stuff like that.
Really? Okay, no, I think everybody gets those, Mark. I'm sure it's fine.
Stuff like that. Or you can get me on at Minto1 on Twitter. Nice to hear from him.
Mark, always good to speak to you. We look forward to catching up with you again with when there's been more antics, I'm sure, whatever you're trying to do with work in about 3-4 months' time. Okay.
Yeah, brilliant. It's been great to talk to you anyway. I'm sorry to just keep going on, but I've got that much to say. You know?
No problem. We'll do our best to get you in for the Christmas quiz this year as well for the end of year.
Definitely.
We'll see what we can do.
Come dress up in your women's gear as well.
And
enjoy the rest of the summer.
Yes, yeah, so we'll make the most of it whilst it's there. Mark, great speaking to you. Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
All the best. Bye.
Once more, back for some live music with Jake.
Yes, and it's your final tune, and this one's the cover version. Tell us a bit about why this song means so much to you.
I just like the song. Basically, the song is about Robert Johnson when he went down to the crossroads to make a pact with the devil.
Yeah.
To get success in his music. Because in the 1930s, it was very hard for black people, you know, with the problems that they were having, racism and so on. And it was very difficult for black people to break through. So the story is about he went down to the crossroads, made a pact with the devil, and after that he got success with his music.
Well, we'll find out more about that by listening to the song. If you want to grab your guitar and take it away.
Gone down to crossroads, well down my knees. Oh, down to crossroads. Better pass my eyes. I'm going down to Roselle. Chain my brother by my side. Oh, down to Roselle. Chain my brother by my side. Well, you can show for favor by the riverside. I said, run, baby, run. Tell my friends all around. Oh, run, baby, run. Tell my friends all around. I'm going down to crossroads where love can be found.
Excellent. Jake, thank you so much for coming in and playing for us. It must be strange playing in a hotel room. The acoustics aren't really designed for live guitar, are they?
I'll play anywhere.
You don't mind. Yeah. That's good. Oh, well, thank you for joining us.
Either side of you are loving it, though, Jason.
Oh, well, yeah, it must be quite strange for everyone in the room next door, but we've had no complaints from reception, which is the important part, maybe because they enjoyed the music so much, which is good. But, Jake, thank you for joining us, and we'll let you sneak out whilst we go back to the phones.
No problem.
Sunday the 8th of September sees a very special charity football match in aid of Toby Craddock and Birmingham Children's Hospital at the Goal Soccer Centre, Darlaston Lane in Willenhall. To tell us more about it, here's the organiser, Andy Reeves. Hello, sir. What's going on? How did this one come about? Because you did quite a bit of work over the last 12 months raising money for Birmingham Children's Hospital.
Yeah, basically, we did the one last year, and recently my good friend is helping me as well, Robert Bradley. He asked me to do another one this year. And I said I'd think about it, but then I decided to do another one. Jardy Craddock's coming down to play again as well. So that's basically how it started so far. I mean, I kept in touch with Jardy, and we took it from there, really.
Because obviously the Birmingham Children's Hospital's played a large part in his family life since Toby became ill, and things have been going well for him. But there's a load of other kids who also deserve the support of the hospital, and so the campaign continues.
Even though we say it's in aid of Toby Craddock and obviously Birmingham Children's Hospital, but actually fundraising for the Cancer Appeal. Which is where Tarby was being treated in the cancer wards.
Very worthwhile still, though, isn't it? Very, very worthwhile charity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anywhere where children are involved, you know, I'm sure people don't mind putting their hands in their back pockets and helping to play in these hard times at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. Because, you never know. It could be your child that needs the help there, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know... It could happen to anybody in any form of life, you know. So, with family having passed away with cancer in the past, you know, it's quite a cost to my heart.
Yeah, I mean, cancer does affect pretty much every family in some way or form, and it is good to know that there are people out there like the Birmingham Children's Hospital doing so much to help the kids out in their situation. And it's great to know that, I mean, injuries, etc. allowing, Jodie's actually going to play in the game too.
Pardon?
It's good to know that, fingers crossed, without any injuries in the run-up to the match, Jodie hopes to be able to play as well, doesn't he?
I've heard Jodie's got a bit of a strain at the moment, but hopefully, you know, if he's available and he's injury-free, he should be able to come down on the day and play with us. I mean, I've asked a few ex-Wall stars to help us down there as well. If they're available, hopefully they'll come down and play.
Now, there is limited parking, but it is just £2 for adults and £1 for kids, so you want to get yourself down there early. There's also a charity pitchside raffle after the game as well, so I suppose you're looking for some donations of prizes for that too.
Yeah, we're looking for a few donations of prizes. You know, anything, even if it's just a £5 dash or something for River Island, or, you know, anywhere, you know, any donation's grateful.
So if you do want to get in touch or find out more, how do they contact you?
They can email me at andyreeves@mail.com or they can find us on Facebook at Get Ross and Tarby Craddock.
And you can actually make a donation to that through justgiving.com's website or text too.
Yeah, that's right. There is a text facility on there. It's on our Just Giving page as well. justgiving.com/GetRossAndTarbyCraddock. All the details can be found on there.
Or if you do want to send the text, just send the code GWST51, an amount, say £1, £2, £3 or £10 to 70070, and you can actually make a donation directly from your phone that way. Andy, good luck with the event. I take it you're taking bookings for tickets in advance if people do want to buy, so they can get in touch the same way via your email address?
Yeah, basically, you know, people can turn up on the day to come and watch, but if, you know, if they want to play, they can contact us on Facebook or just drop me an email. That'd be great.
Yep, so search for Get Well Soon Toby Craddock on Facebook, or just turn up Sunday the 8th of September. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff at the Gold Soccer Centre, Darston Lane in Willenhall, West Midlands, WV14 1BL. Put it in your diary now and get down there. A very worthy cause, and it should be a fantastic afternoon's football, and also all the fun and games of taking part in the charity raffle and all that sort of stuff too. It should be brilliant, shouldn't it?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be as good as last year as well.
Yeah, great.
Last year was brilliant, so we're hoping to make it even better this year.
Well, Andy, thank you for joining us. Thanks for telling us about it, and thanks for your hard work on pulling the event together.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that.
Cheers. Drop for now.
Thanks.
So that brings to a close episode 213. Zoe, thank you for joining us from sunny Wolverhampton.
Yes, very sunny.
And here I am in overly air-conditioned Aberdeen.
I could do with a bit of air-conditioning at the minute, though, to send some down this way.
My hotel room's freezing. I'm amazed that the guitar stayed in tune for Jay because he was performing, but there we go. So we'll be back next week. Should we be both in the same studio in Wolverhampton then? Okay.
Yep, good. Will do.
See you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.